Welcome to Fresh Manna, Fresh Bread. A very personal message to the partners of Benny Hinn Ministries, directly from the prayer closet of Pastor Benny. This gift to you is Pastor's expression of thanks for your love and support of this ministry. Now, here's Pastor Benny.
And it's wonderful being with you again as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I tell you what, I am really enjoying teaching Corinthians. I just love teaching the Word of God, and I'm so glad you're my partner. I pray the Lord today again will bless and enrich your life. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord right now to just be our teacher and help us as we look at His precious Word. Precious, most wonderful Jesus, how we love you. Lord, I pray today you'll touch us afresh, quicken our minds, touch our hearts to receive your blessed, life-changing, and anointed word. Lord, enrich our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Now, before we continue with chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, I want to remind you of the purpose for the writing of 1 Corinthians. Paul had received word from two sources that there are divisions in the church. And, you know, it was known, of course, then that the people of Corinth were known to argue on politics and sports and philosophy and so on. So his purpose was to write them and tell them this would not be accepted in the Church of Jesus Christ. Division is unacceptable. The second reason he was writing this letter is because they had some questions. And he had received a letter from them requesting answers to a series of questions. So Paul, of course, answers these questions in this book, which we will look at later. But now let's begin with chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now remember, he had mentioned to them earlier in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that there was division among them. And he says, so when I came the first time to you on my first visit, I was unable to speak to you as unto spiritual people because you had all these divisions and troubles. And he's really basically saying, and even now, those conditions had not changed. And he goes on in verse 2, he says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He's saying you were not able to bear more than milk when I met you the first time when you got saved, and you're still at that condition. You have not grown. You have not matured in the Lord. And, you know, newborn babes in Christ Jesus, people who have just been born again, it would be natural and expected of them, of course, to need milk. But the mature need meat. And remember that 1 Peter 2:2 said that we need to desire the milk of the Word, but he was speaking about, people who have just come to the Lord. Let me, in fact, read that to you in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." So only brand new Christians desire milk. Milk should not be the diet of the mature. But now, he gives us the reason here why they were not able to take and receive meat, because he said these divisions still are among you. In verse 3, he says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now, look, this is the condition of many in the church today, who are unable to handle the meat of the Word. And the reason they're unable to handle the meat of the Word is because they're carnal. The word carnal means in the flesh. The word carnal means the flesh is in control, you know. And you see so many people today that cannot handle the meat of God's Word. They'll choke on it if you give them any. All they can handle is the milk. But look, milk is not enough when you're growing up. You know, I look at my precious grandbaby, little Theo Michael, You know, when he was born, I'll never forget, as Jesse struggled to breastfeed him, and, you know, he was becoming accustomed to being fed by his mom and so on. Now, he is beginning to eat some solid food. He's about 10 months old or so. And I was just feeding him a few days ago, and I thought, you know, it's amazing. In only 10 months, this little baby is beginning to experiment and to feed on solid food. And yeah, we gotta, you know, soften things for him and so on, put it in the blender and so on. But he's not drinking as much milk. He still does a little bit, of course. But the amazing thing is, even a 10-month-old boy or little girl, a child, begins to need, and their bodies begin to need, solid food. How much more a Christian, spiritually in need of solid food? Now think about a 30-year-old or a 20-year-old still drinking milk, I mean in the natural. What would happen to them? What would happen to a natural someone that keeps drinking milk for 20, 30 years? Their bodies would not have the nourishment, and eventually they're going to get very ill physically and could possibly even have some serious problems physically and so on. But if our natural bodies need solid food, how much more our spirit? Now, individuals that are still on a milk diet, in the spirit, I mean, these are the people who are unable to grow up. And the reason they're unable to grow up, and this is the key, they're still carnal. They still focus on this world and still controlled by the flesh. And this is a danger. Now, look at verse 3. He says, are you not carnal and walk as men? You're still walking in the flesh. Now, the word carnal, remember, means in the flesh. The Corinthian church was allowing the flesh to direct their behavior. They were acting like men of the world, women of the world. They were soldiers of Christ marching to the beat of the world, frankly, is what was going on with them. And soldiers of Jesus should not march to any other beat. And here you see these people controlled by the world. This is what really concerns me deeply today, frankly. I'll be honest with you. Because I watch certain programs on TV, and I see what they deal with. They deal with how to handle your emotions. They deal with how to succeed in business. They deal with how to make money and live well. And they deal with things, really, that the Bible has nothing to do with, because the Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. You mustn't go after these things. Yet, all you hear about today in some circles, thank God not all, is how to beautify self and how to build self and how to prosper self and all this stuff that has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the danger, in that the focus in some circles today is on what? It's on self. It's on the flesh. And therefore, these people also are individuals who will never be free from envy, from strife, and from divisions. Because that's what the Bible says in verse 3. Now, verse 4 says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, this is a very, very interesting and really amazing verse. Because what it says is, when you follow men, even though they're men of God, if you're following men rather than following the Lord Jesus, you're carnal. Just plain and simple. You see, we as Christians have been called to follow the Lord Himself. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, go follow somebody else. Follow me. We have to walk in His footsteps, follow His example, and obey Him. That's the mature. The mature person will follow the Lord and not men. Now, in this case, He said, you know, some of you follow Paul, me, myself. Some of you follow Apollos. He said, no, are you not carnal when you're following us rather than the Lord? Now, pay attention, because this is happening in our day today, where people follow ministers and ministries, and their faith really is in that man rather than, you know, in the Lord. And when that man or woman falls, those people fall with them. Why? Because their faith is in these people, not the Lord. Now, if you keep your eyes on Jesus and nobody else, you'll never fall. And this is the key. This is the key to victory. You see, we must keep our eyes upon the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we look to him, we will not fail. Hallelujah. And people who look to individuals are also carnal, because Paul says so in verse 4. And then he says in verse 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So who are these men of God? But ministers by whom the gospel is heard, by whom people are able to hear the message of salvation, and people believe when they hear the gospel. So it's important. Now, let's not dismiss the need for ministers, because I'm one of them too. We must understand that God uses vessels to preach the gospel. God uses individuals to get the word out. God uses people to teach his word, that the body of Christ might be strengthened. God gave to his church apostles, and God gave to his church prophets, and the Lord gave to his church evangelists and pastors and teachers. These are very necessary ministries, but the focus is on Jesus, not on these men. So he says, who are these men? But ministers by whom you heard and believed the gospel, and even though those people brought you to the Lord, following them is forbidden. The mature believer will follow the Lord, but following men is carnal, and it's of the flesh. And so now in verse 6 he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Now, this is also important here, because preachers, their duty is, you know, some of them and some of us have been called to plant the seed of the word, and we plant it as we preach the gospel. Yet others are called to water that seed. And that, of course, happens when the word of God is taught. So it's important to understand that God has called men to plant, and he has called others to water that blessed seed that's been planted. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be watered through the teaching of God's blessed word. And now growth comes as a result. But growth is what the Lord will give, because it says God gives, or here it says gave the increase. So now it's the Lord who will cause growth in the life of every believer. So we must not look for growth to come from the preaching and the teaching of men. No, that's where the seed is planted, that's where the seed is watered, but the growth itself is supernatural. And now verse 7, he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The point here is the all-important one in the life of each believer, and that it's not men who are important, because all they do is plant and water. It's the Lord who gives the increase. In other words, what Paul is really saying is, remember, it's Jesus all the way from beginning to end. Keep your eyes on him. Never place your eyes on men, because there's danger when you do. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. When he says they are one, he is basically saying they're after the same goal. They're after the same results. So he who plants and he who waters want to see the same results, and the results are the growth of the believer. And this growth, of course, comes as the Holy Spirit comes upon that life, and as he begins to anoint that man or woman and bring maturity through the word. But remember the need for the word of God, and that comes through teachers of God's word and preachers. And that's why we need them. But it is God who brings growth. But then he says something amazing. He says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, there are rewards for these ministers. As they remain faithful, God will reward them. And that, of course, is on the glorious day when we see the Lord. Now, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ah, I love that verse. A very important point that he makes. And he's saying this: true gospel preachers and true Bible teachers are one with the Lord, fulfilling his will, not their own will, fulfilling his own work and agenda, not their own. Therefore, these men are in close fellowship with the Lord. And what he's really saying is, look for that. So do not follow someone, follow the Lord. And when you do listen to someone who gives you the word of God or preaches the gospel, make sure that one is a pure fountain. Make sure that one is walking with God, because there'll be proof in that life. The anointing will be there. The presence of God will be there. And we will know it by the Spirit in us that these individuals are pure and honest. And what do we look for? We must look for the word of God coming out of their life. So if somebody begins talking about nonsense, well, just don't listen to them. But if the word of God is being preached, and if the word of God is being taught with wealth and riches, spiritual wealth and riches is what I mean, and you know that, then we listen to them. If they're feeding our hearts, we listen to them. So don't listen to someone who is giving you nothing. Don't listen to someone who is giving you information you cannot use in the Christian life. Just listen to that one who is truly feeding your heart and spirit. And so now he says, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. In other words, you are God's field. The church of Jesus Christ is the field where the seed is sown. And here he means growth, because what do we see in a field? We see the seed sown, and then we see growth coming. And so Paul says, you are God's field. Just never forget that the seed, you know, is a must in your life. You must have the seed of the word, because you are the field. More than that, you are God's habitation place. You are that place of habitation where God's presence is. You are his temple. And now he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So Paul is saying, I am very aware of the fact that the church, you, the church, are God's field. And I am very aware of the fact you're God's building. Therefore, I'm also careful. That's why he says, according to the grace of God given unto me, as a wise master builder, I'm very careful in how I build. I have laid the foundation. But another builds thereon, but let that man take heed how he builds thereupon. And Paul the apostle is giving us something dynamic. He's saying that he has been called to lay the foundation. It was in Paul's ministry where, as he preached the gospel, the foundation was laid. And this is what he's talking about. Do you realize that people that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, people who talk about the cross, people that go to the nations of the world preaching the gospel, are really foundation layers? They're the ones who are laying the foundation in people's lives. And now he says, be careful, though. Don't let somebody else come after and build on that foundation something that is not the gospel. You see, when you got saved, it was Jesus. The foundation was Jesus. It was Jesus that came into your life. He came into your heart. He is the foundation. Now, it's our responsibility what we allow after. So once Christ is the foundation in our life, do we allow another to come and build on that foundation, the wrong building? Because this is what was happening in the church in Corinth. He was saying, listen, I've laid the foundation properly in your life. Now, something went wrong here, because there are divisions and there are strifes and so on in your life. Therefore, the foundation is right, but the building is wrong. And that man who's built that building will be judged if the building is not built right. So let me talk to you now, listening to me, my precious partner. The foundation in your life is right. It's been laid properly, because when you got saved, you received Jesus. So the foundation is good, but the building. What kind of building do you have? What kind of life have you lived and are you living today? Are you strong in the Lord? Does bondage exist in your life? Are there divisions and envying and strifes? Now, if that's the case, then you've been listening to the wrong teachings that have been coming your way, not building Christ Jesus upon that foundation, because the foundation is Christ and the building is Christ. If the building does not fall in line, if it's not the same as the foundation, if it's not the same message, you see, here's what he's saying. The foundation is Jesus Christ coming into your life as you hear the gospel, but the building is Jesus Christ too as you receive his word. So it's the gospel, the foundation, and then the building, the word of God. So if the word of God is not coming into your life, then there's the wrong building is on that foundation. And one of these days, that building will fall if it's not the word of God. Only the word, only the building built with the word, only that building that is Jesus Christ is going to last. And that's why Paul warns here in verse 10. He says, now I've laid that foundation, but he said, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Be careful, not only who you're listening to, but let that person also be careful who's giving you the word of God after your salvation. Let that man be careful in what he's giving you. You know, that's why I'm so aware of this. I'm so careful when I preach and teach that I want to give people the proper word of God, because I'll be judged too. Remember that. If I'm giving the wrong word, God will judge me. And so verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he is the foundation of the church, and no one can lay anything else but Christ. He's the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And what he's saying here, that if the building is carnal, because if the building is not spiritual, if it's not eternal, it will not withstand the trials by fire, because God will test that building. He will not test the foundation, because the foundation is Jesus, and nobody can lay anything but that. But the building is a different matter. Now, if they start adding onto the foundation the carnal, he calls this carnal here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He says, if they start giving you things that have nothing to do with Christ Jesus, if these things are of the world, verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's a frightening verse. This says God will test not only every believer, but every preacher. What verse 13 says is very important. He's saying it is possible to hide the quality of one's service in this life, but the day of judgment will truly reveal what kind of work has gone into that building. So when one preaches the gospel, he's laying the proper foundation. But now someone else comes behind that one and he's teaching. And sometimes they teach things that are not eternal. They teach things that have nothing to do with salvation, not of the Spirit. Therefore, these things that are being taught that do not honor Jesus Christ the Lord, that are not feeding the hearts of believers, these things that are carnal, what Paul calls gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and so on. He says, now, it may look right on the outside, because it is possible to hide the quality of the service of a minister. In this life, it's possible, and you see a whole lot of people out there that you think are really teachers of the word, but they're not. But now, he says, the day of judgment will reveal it. And then it says this, If any man's work abide, verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, so every ministry will be tested. Every work will be tested on that glorious day when the Lord returns. Every work. The Bible says that clearly. And believe me, that's one thing I think about all the time myself. The fear of God that hits when you think about it. See, we must remember that day is coming. If any man's work abide, if it lasts the test which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So there are rewards. And we don't know what those rewards are, of course, because the scriptures doesn't really tell us. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, think about the loss. Think about what's going to happen when that work is tested and found to be empty. He shall suffer loss. In other words, he will suffer loss in that he will lose his reward eternally. Eternal shame. Think about that. Now, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So he will not, he or she, these ministers will not lose their salvation, but they will lose their reward. And when someone loses that reward, you must understand there will be eternal shame. Paul the Apostle says that I might not be ashamed, that I might be blameless. He's able, Jude 24 says, he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, blameless before the throne. Now, it is possible then, as we read here, to appear before the Lord and be blamed and be ashamed. And the Lord will find fault with that one. There will be punishment, and that punishment is the loss of rewards. And the eternal shame is what I don't know that I can live with. That's why it's easy to begin right. It's hard to finish right. So it's not how you begin that matters, it's how you finish that matters. And this is one thing as I'm getting older in life, I think about all the time now. I want to finish right. And I keep reminding the Lord, Lord, you're able to keep me and you're able to present me. And that's why I even ask you, my partners, to pray for me, that the Lord will keep me pure before him for the rest of my life. You know, that's the one thing that matters really, is what happens when you appear before the Lord. That's all that matters, because then we're by ourselves there. Nobody can answer for us. Now, Paul makes another statement here that is quite amazing and, you know, kind of it leaves you with a question, frankly, and I'll tell you what that question is in just a second. Verse 16, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man, verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, this is something. First, in verse 16, he says, don't forget. He says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to the whole church and to each believer. He's saying, you are the temple of the Spirit. Be careful what you allow in your life. And be careful who you allow in your life. And be careful what kind of things you're listening to. Because you're the temple of God. So he says, now, know ye not? He says, you have a responsibility. You can't just blame the preacher. You also need to be careful that you're allowing him into your life. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In other words, you have a responsibility yourself to keep your temple clean and pure. And verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now watch. In verse 15, he talked about an individual, a preacher, suffering loss because his work has been tried and found to be empty and the fire destroyed it. Now, in this verse, he's talking about another person, a different kind of preacher, who is not just foolish to be given the wrong information and then finding out that his whole work is really empty, but this is another man or woman who's been destroying the temple of God, who's been bringing harm to the temple of God. And this is why I said it creates a question now. On one side, you have ministers and preachers who are teaching empty things, not the Word of God, yet people listen to them, not realizing that that building, it looks okay on the outside, but it's not really the Word of God, and therefore they're going to lose everything one day. Then you have the other one, the other preacher, who is not only teaching the wrong thing, he's also harming and destroying the temple of God. That person will be destroyed. Now, in the other one's case earlier, it says he will be saved. His work will be lost, but he will be saved as by fire. I mean, he'll be saved, frankly, by the skin of his teeth, is what it's saying here. That he will suffer loss, but himself will be saved. Yet as by fire. But this other one will be destroyed, because he's been destroying and defiling the church of God. And the word to defile means to spoil, to ruin, to waste, to destroy. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And this is another thing that, again, is very troubling. Because, you know, there are people out there, sadly, who are doing just that. And some precious saints are unaware of it. And what is so puzzling is they let them do it. I mean, they let people come and destroy them, harm them. That person, that preacher, will be judged harshly and destroyed by the Lord. In other words, he will lose his salvation. And he will be destroyed, because that's exactly what it says here. If any man, and it's talking about some man here, defile the temple of God, him, it's talking about a person, shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? He said, you don't play games with that. You don't defile the temple of God, the holy temple of God, the church of Jesus Christ. You know, I will never forget going to Malaysia years ago. And just as I was walking into the church to minister in Kuala Lumpur, the Lord grabbed me by my arm. I'll never forget that. I felt a real hand touch my arm. And he said, don't forget, these are my people. You know, it shook me up. I'll tell you honestly, it shook me up. The Lord reminded me again, these are my people. Be careful how you treat them, in other words. Or one time in South Africa when I was physically, I was not doing well. And again, as I was ministering, I looked down and I saw a lady carrying a little child in her arm who was probably sick looking for healing. And my heart, you know, was stirred. But then I was quite shaken when the Lord spoke to me even there and said, don't be faithless, be faithful. In other words, again, they're my people, Benny. And I'm so glad the Lord is like that. I'm so glad he reminds us every so often. Don't play games. Be careful. And so I'm grateful to the Lord for warning me. And I'm grateful to him that he does that. And I pray he'll continue to do this because it's for my safety. I've told him this. I said, Lord, you can whip me all you want. You can punish me all you want. But never leave me. And I mean this with all my heart, even now as I'm talking to you. I mean this with all my heart. I've said, dear Jesus, you can punish me all you want. Just never, ever leave me. Never walk away from me. And this is really the prayer of every believer, I'm sure. And this is yours also, your prayer too. Because life without him, I'd rather be, you know, I've said to him many, many times, Lord, I would rather be you know, just to think about it even shakes me. I would rather to have never been born than to live without Jesus. I would rather to have never been born, I mean it, than to live without the Lord. And that's just the way it is. And so he says here, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And what Paul here is really talking about is what he's been talking about in verse 1, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, is, you know, where people are sometimes, or preachers, I should say, when they preach, they're dependent on their own knowledge and gift and education. They're trying to convince people of things. And what Paul is saying here, no. Do not depend on your own wisdom. Do not be led away from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ by allowing human wisdom in, because human wisdom cannot build the church of Jesus Christ. Only the simplicity of the gospel and only the simplicity of the word of God can build the lives of believers. That's what he's saying here. He says, he said, let no man deceive himself. He said, don't be deceived. And he's talking to preachers. He's saying, don't let that preacher be deceived, because he was earlier talking about, you know, those that lay foundations and those that build. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, believe the simple message. Don't go for preachers that are giving you their ideas and their gift and their eloquence and their know-how, and they convince you by their brilliant minds. Forget that, because you cannot build your Christian life upon the knowledge of men or by the knowledge they give you. You build your Christian life upon the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing Him, His knowledge, as you receive His knowledge. In other words, as you get to know Him, you will grow in the Lord. And so those that teach the Bible, if they're giving you their own ideas and they're trying to convince you by how smart they teach and preach, forget it. But if they preach Jesus, if they teach Jesus, if they're giving you the word of Jesus, there'll be growth, all right. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You know, all the bright minds out there and those who know all this and know about everything. And he says it's foolishness. Scientific discoveries, foolishness. All that stuff, foolishness. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You can find this, by the way, in Job 5:13 and Psalm 94:11. Where, and Paul is just repeating what the scriptures, of course, say. Now, verse 20 says, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So he basically repeats the same thing he's really been saying here, is do not depend on the wisdom of man. Focus on the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the simplicity and the richness of the word of God. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Ah, this is powerful. He says the one who belongs to Jesus is an inheritor of all things. Remember that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says, therefore, let no man glory in men, but all things are yours. When you belong to Jesus Christ, everything is yours. And he says, whether in verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos, in other words, God gave these ministers for your nourishment and your benefit, or whether Cephas, Peter, same thing, God gave him for your benefit, or the world, it's yours because you will judge it, or life, he says you're going to live eternally, or death, that you're free from and have overcome, or things present, or things to come, you rule in this life through Christ Jesus, and you will rule eternally through Christ Jesus. He says all are yours. And his point is, when you belong to Jesus, you become an heir of God and a joint heir. Everything becomes yours, so don't look at men. And ye are Christ's, verse 23 says, and Christ is God's. And because you belong to Jesus, that's the greatest thing you can talk about. Now you belong to God. Therefore, the scripture says, all things are yours because all things belong to Jesus, and you are heirs and joint heirs. Hallelujah! Well, we'll continue again next month with chapter 4. You know, I know the, you know, chapter 1, 2, 3 are kind of simple, but Paul, again, is just entering in, you know, his argument is quite simple. Focus on God. Focus on the Lord. Do not focus on men. Do not trust in the wisdom of men, but simply stay with the simplicity of the gospel. And that's how he begins. But then he'll go on, of course, answering many of their questions, which I'm sure are questions being asked also today. The Word of God, how rich and how blessed. Thank you again for being my partner and my friend. And I pray the Lord will bless you and enrich your life with His blessed Word. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the Word of your precious Son, Jesus, will enrich every heart and every life. That the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus till that one comes to the fullness of the image of Christ in their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Love you. Million thanks. See you again. Bye-bye.
For more, contact Benny Hinn Ministries World Healing Center Church, Post Office Box 16-2000, Irving, Texas 75016. Call 800-433-1900 or go online to www.bennyhinn.org. If you live outside the United States or Canada, go to www.bennyhinn.org for the address and phone number of the office nearest you.